Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message. I want to talk today about our status. Okay, so today's title is Status Update. Status Update, because we all have a status. You've got what you've got going on. I've got what I've got going on. It's your current status. And when I say that, maybe you start thinking about, well, what's my relationship status? What's my money status? What's my leisure status? Today, I want to talk about your work status. Okay, because I want to talk about how we work. Okay, so go with me here. Imagine, if you will, that you ran into a friend you haven't seen for a long time. Okay, you bump into each other in a public space. It's the mall, it's Starbucks, it's wherever it is. And you, hey, I haven't seen you in so long. And you start saying, how are you? What are you up to? How have you been? And then the games begin. May the odds be ever in your favor for this game. Because here's the game that ensues. Let me outdo you with how much I have going on. Okay, we're going to play a game now, and here's the contest. You ask me how I am, I'm going to tell you exactly how I am, and you begin to just vomit your work on them. Okay, let that image hit you for a sec. You just, oh, this is what I have going on, and I've got this project and this work, and let me update you on that. And it's amazing when you consider it, because when you have those encounters, whether it's friends you haven't seen in a long time or even just connecting with people over the weekend or during the week, how are you? We naturally lean into, well, I'm busy. Okay, that's normal. That is our response in 2018, specifically here in America. It's, how are you? Well, I got a lot going on. I've got a lot of work. I've got so many things I'm trying to handle. And for every single one of us in this space, come on, we've got work going on. Now, let's just define that term. It's good to define a term before you talk about it. Work is anything that you are activating your hands with. Okay, so for some of you, you may go to a place of work and you work there, and guess what happens when you come home? You work, right? Come on, it's true. Well, I got to come home and do the homework, and I got to do the yard work, and I got to work on the relationship, and I got to work on the finances. And we're constantly using this language of, I've got a lot of work to do. And we're always working. And really, if we were to consider our status, our current status is work and overwork and don't stop working. And it's very curious how we navigate our lives like this. So I was browsing around the interwebs, and I came across an article put out by The Atlantic, and I love the title of it. It was Working, the Status Symbol of Our Time. Okay, and they dove into this, and this isn't from a faith-based article. It's just an article written by Culture, assessing culture, and saying, why is it that we are so overworked? Why do we love what we do? Why do we work so much? In fact, they asked the question further with the scenario I gave. Why is it when we connect with someone, there's this inner need to explain ourselves? Because Lord forbid, we don't want them to think we're not doing anything. That would be a tragedy. So I'm not going to let you think that all I do is rest, or all I do is hang out, or all I do is go on vacation, okay? Because then you get like the pointing of the fingers, oh, must be nice. There they are again, relaxing. Well, someone's got to work, and it's not going to be that guy, right? So instead of me giving you a reason to say that, they said, why do people do this? And they look specifically here in our country. Why are we so bent on work? Why have we esteemed this idea of always working, always going as a status symbol? And what's cool is they conducted an experiment. They collected some people. I don't know how you do that, but they collected people. They brought them into a space, hopefully willingly. And they said, look, we're going to show you social media feeds, okay? And we're going to ask you who you think is more influential. Who gets your respect after you see what you see on these feeds? And they showed two different types of feeds. One that was explaining and showing a lot of leisure and vacation and just kind of resting and enjoying life. And another that was, hey, at the office and working and getting things done. And they polled and said, well, who's better? Who gets your respect? And it was those that were always working. That is our status symbol. And they asked this question. I want to read you the quote. We were very inspired by this idea of bragging and complaining with others. Isn't that interesting? I'm going to brag about how much work I have and complain about how much work I have, about how much we work, and trying to understand whether it operates as a symbol of status in the eyes of others. So they have the same curiosity that I have, and I think that you have here. Hey, why do I have this need to make sure the people around me know that I'm working? Have you ever thought this before? This is inside Keith's brain. Let me share with you what goes on. If I don't work, they're going to think I'm lazy. If I don't work, the other guy is going to get the promotion. I mean, my boss is going to promote one of us. It's going to be the one that does 8 days a week and 400 days out of the year. So it's got to be me. I have to convince him or her that I am worthy of the promotion. I am worthy of the raise. Or Yair said this one. This one's good. If I don't do it, the whole thing's going to collapse. Good Lord. If I don't show up, they're going to ruin everything. I've been working hard at this, and there's no way I'm letting it go because I hold it together. And I try my best to justify why I can't stop, why I need to keep working. Why I need to keep up with culture that has looked at overwork as a status symbol. Now, here's what the takeaway is not, okay? This isn't go quit your job, okay? No one do that and blame the church. I will not talk to your boss tomorrow, okay? Well, the pastor said quit my job, I got to rest. No. And the reality is this too. I mean, let's just be honest, okay? 24/7 is where we are. Think about it. If you go to a 9-to-5 job, you come home and there's work for you to do. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you're not just staying at home. You're working all day with kids. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. I know. So what do we do with that? We can't just like, oh, I can't disconnect. I can't stop. So what do we do in a culture that is overworked? How do we navigate this? And what's the real reason why we feel like we have to work all the time? So there's a pastor, Tim Keller, and he has this quote, and I think his suggestion here, this is from the mouth of God, it's from the mouth of Pastor Tim Keller, but I think he's done a good job at assessing why we work. Look what he says. All of us are haunted. Haunted by the work under the work. Think about this. What's the real reason why a vacation would be devastating to you? What's the real reason why not taking on another job or another client or another project? What's the real reason why you can't just stop and pause for a minute? He says it's the work under the work. And here's the work under the work, that need to prove and save ourselves, to gain a sense of worth and identity. See, Pastor Tim Keller is suggesting that the reason why we are so overworked and the reason why the thought of saying no to something and the thought of resting and the thought of letting our hands cease from whatever we have going on is because we have placed our worth and our identity in that thing. Whether it's a job, relationship, status, whatever it is, we have said, no, I've got to keep doing this because if this thing falls apart, a part of me falls apart. Some of my worth goes down. Some of my identity goes down. And so we are so bent on working because we're not trying to keep our job. We're trying to keep ourselves. We're trying to keep this is who I am. They know, think about it. When we introduce ourselves, hi, I'm Keith. I'm a pastor. We bring our name and what we do right into our opening statement of our identity, and it's our worth. And the reason why we struggle with letting go of it is because we don't know if our worth and our identity are going to collapse if we cease, if we stop. So let me ask another question today. Wouldn't you like to feel well-rested? Right? That doesn't have to be rhetorical. Wouldn't you like to feel well-rested? I think all of us would say, yeah, I would love that. Where's the well-rested line, please? Can I sign up for well-rest? But think about it. Let's play at the same scenario. You run into an old friend or connect with someone. How are you? I am well-rested. Okay, weirdo. What does that mean? Oh, I get it. You must not have a job. No, I didn't say that. I have a job. Oh, you're a pastor. What do you work, like one day a week on Sunday? No, actually, I work more than that. Right? No. Oh, I get it. You're retired, right? I've met retired people that do way more than I do. Right? You know that. No. I'm well rested. Okay. You have a job? Yeah. And you're well rested? Yeah. That's what I want us to consider today. Because look, your reality, my reality is, you're not going to go into the office tomorrow and quit the job. You're not going to go home and peace out, kids. You're 4 now. You can figure this out. Don't touch the oven. Mom and dad need a break. Right? We're not going to do that. You've got a job. But my question is, have you made your job your identity and your worth? Because there is a way for you to work your job and guard your identity and worth so that in your job you can be well rested. So that whether you take the vacation time, which you should, in fact, more than 50% of Americans don't use all their vacation time. Isn't that interesting? Stats show that. More than half of us in the workforce will not use all of our vacation time this year. Why?
Well, because maybe there's a sense of identity and worth there. If I go on vacation and I'm not here, what are they going to think of me? That's our line of thinking. And so in all of that, what if today we could say, okay, I'd love to be well-rested. I love to, Facebook, like, how are you feeling? A status update. Keith is feeling well-rested. That would be different. And so I want to invite you to that. Now, the good news is we are not the first people to struggle with overwork. I love, misery loves company, right? We are not the first people to say, oh yeah, it's American culture. No, let's go back a few thousand years, actually. So there's a man named Abraham, long time ago, that God chooses by his gracious calling and says, hey, Abraham, through you, I'm going to establish a nation. And we know them today as the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. And God comes to Abraham and says, I'm going to build a great family through you. You're going to have so many kids, and they're going to look back at you as their ancestor, and it's going to be great. And so this starts to happen. Now, like any story, there's the plot where it thickens. And the people of Israel get caught up in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. God, in his grace, sends a man named Moses to come and take them out of slavery. You ever seen, like, the Prince of Egypt or the Ten Commandments? Like, that kind of idea that Moses comes and there's this great display of God's grace and his grandeur. And the people of Israel are brought out of slavery, and now God is going to set them up as a new family. He's the dad. They're the kids. And like any family, there's going to be family rules. You've got family rules. I've got them. Right? In fact, if you came to my house, you would see some family rules. And you know what might happen? You might be confused about some of my family rules. That's why you go to someone's house, you're like, what do I do with my shoes? What do we do here? Right? You're asking what the family rule is. And so we've all got those things. And I say that because before we read the family rule, one of them that God gave his family, Jewish people, it may be a little confusing. Well, that's okay. It's family rule. And we're going to discover, because sometimes I go to people's houses and I love their family rules. And I'm like, babe, we're doing that. That was awesome. You see how they have ice cream before and after dinner? I mean, this is a good family, right? So we're going to look at the family rule that God gave the people of Israel. Why? Because he knew that they were going to be set up to be different. He knew that, like us, they were going to enter a space where work could be their worth and identity. And he had something better for them. So Deuteronomy chapter 5, my Bible's in Jeremiah. My Bible is confused right now. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is your Sabbath. Okay, it's to the Lord, and you shall not do any work. Okay, so let's talk about what God is doing here. Don't lose the timeline. God says, Abraham, I'm going to call you because I am gracious to you. Through you, I'm going to set up the Jewish people. They go through this season where they are enslaved for 400 years in Egypt. God, by his grace, says, okay, we're setting you free now. And now I'm going to give you some new family rules to live by. And here's one of them. This is the fourth of the Ten Commandments. There's going to be the seventh day. It's going to be called the Sabbath. And on it, you're not going to work. Okay. But what about, like, I'm in the middle of something, God? No. On the seventh day, you're not going to work. Yeah, I know, but if I don't do it, it's going to fall apart, and then their goats are going to be better than my goats. No. Listen, on the seventh day, you're not going to work. The word Sabbath literally means cease or stop. So he gives this family, it's a little weird, right? Chick-fil-A gets it. The rest of us don't, right? Good Lord, why is Christian chicken not available on Sunday? I digress, but I have Chick-fil-A sauce at home because every time I go, I ask for more, so I can have Chick-fil-A any day of the week. Thank you, Jesus. Now I have no idea what I'm talking about. Thanks, guys. But he says, no, on the seventh day, you're going to stop. You're literally not going to do anything. Okay, so that's the what. Now, before we get all upset about the what, I want us to focus on the why, because your why is always more important than your what. If you don't have a why, what you're doing doesn't matter that much. You've got to have the reason to why you do what you do. Otherwise, you're just going to fall into the rhythm. I don't know why we do it. We just do it. Okay, but why? So God doesn't leave his family without the why. He tells them the next verse, verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Goes on to say, therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So go back there. He says, you shall remember. You shall remember, the beginning of that verse says. You shall remember. Hey, what are we going to remember? You're going to remember how it used to be. You're going to remember that your identity was slave in Egypt. Your worth was worth less, but I brought you out of that. I'm setting you up with a new identity and new worth. And so to remember that I'm the one who gave you worth and identity, God is telling his family, you're going to stop. On one day of the week, when you stop, well, why are we going to do that? Here's why. To remember your worth and your identity is not found in what your hands are doing. You were used to that for 400 years where you were told you're a slave, keep working, don't stop. They didn't get Sabbath in Egypt. We're enslaved. Now God brings him out and says, okay, it's going to be different now. And the reason why you're going to what? Sabbath is to remember. Coincidentally, the people of Israel forgot. Isn't that fun? We do that all the time. Don't forget this. What did you say? Thank God for Wonderlist and iCal. Right? Like, I just got to write this down. And so the people of Israel forget. You know what they remembered? They remembered the gift more than the giver. That's what the people of Israel did. They remembered the what. What was the what? Okay, don't do anything on the Sabbath. Why are we doing that? No, we've just been doing it for a long time. It's just something I look forward to it. Thank God we're off. But what happened was this. A day that was supposed to be a day of rest and reflection and remembering that God gave them identity and worth became a day of work. You know how? Because they worked really hard at not working. You ever done that? Yes, you have. Every time you go on vacation. And then you say, I need a vacation from my vacation. Because somehow they were supposed to relax and now I'm tired. It's like we take something that's supposed to be a gift and we focus so much on it, we forget, hey, who gave you that gift? And so the people of Israel, there's a religious group known as the Pharisees. They kind of interpret what God had said through the law and the prophets, and they, with their authority, say, this is what we think he means, so we're going to go with this. Well, they wanted to define those three words, do not work. They needed to be really specific. So to be really specific, they came up with 39 categories of what work could possibly mean on the Sabbath, just to be sure. Okay, but that's not enough. So they came up with 1,000 subcategories to the 39 categories. Okay, we want to make sure, well, is this considered work? I don't. Just put it on the work list. Like, we don't know. Are you breaking a sweat? Sure, put it on the work list. We just want to make sure we do not work, because what matters most is do not work. No, what matters most is remembering your identity and worth is found in the God who freed you. They got caught up in the what? So literally, these are literal things. They were the first ones to come up with the pedometer. They would count your steps. No lie, that was one of the things. If you walk too much, you worked, go home, you lose today. Have a nice day. Oh, how many letters did you write today? Why? Well, if you wrote a certain amount, you worked. How many sticks do you have in that bundle? Because if it's over a certain amount, you are working, my friend, and you lose. This is their culture. So don't lose the timeline. God in his grace says, I'm going to free you from what you're used to. And I'm going to set up a family rule. I know all of society is finding their worth and value and their identity in work. It's going to be different for you. Because you've got to remember, even in the work, I'm the one who determines your worth and identity. And yet they get so caught up in do not, and in the what. So this is the world Jesus enters 2,000 years later. Right? They set up this law. They go through their process. They're going to, all right, let's just add another one. And Jesus walks in. And Jesus knows about all their categories and subcategories. Like, this is insane. So Jesus does what Jesus does. He breaks some of their rules. Now, I just want to say this. Jesus doesn't break the original Sabbath rule. What Jesus pushes against is all of the trying and interpreting of explaining the do not work part. Because Jesus honors the law of God. Jesus was the walking law of God. We're going to see that in what he says here. But Jesus looks at all of their 39 this and thousands of that. And guys, you totally forgot about the giver. And so Jesus, in Jesus' fashion, Matthew chapter 12, we read a story. At that time, Jesus went through on the grain fields on the Sabbath. I love this because I like to think his disciples are like, Jesus, why the Sabbath? Like, there's 6 other days. Why today? Oh, because I've got something to do. Just go. We're not supposed to walk this far. No, just keep walking. And his disciples were hungry. God bless hunger. And they began to pluck heads of grain to eat. So they did what we do when we're hungry. You eat something. The problem was, one of those subcategories under the other category says you can't pluck from the head of a grain field and eat it on the same day, because when you harvest, you are now working, you lose. And like good Pharisees, they strategically have people set up to see if anyone's breaking any of their laws. In verse 2, when the Pharisees saw it and said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Whose law? Their law. Their law that said work is this. They weren't losing their worth or identity, and that was God's original reason for the law. But now, Because the Pharisees have set up their worth and identity in how much they don't work, so curious, and how much they watch other people not work or do work. They're saying, well our worth and identity is found that we would never do that. And look at them, they are doing that. And so we got to take care of this. After all, Jesus, they're your disciples. I mean, they're following you. You're their teacher. Why don't you take care of this? And look at these next four words. He said to them, let me pause for a second. Who was it that broke the Pharisees' law? The disciples. Jesus didn't even eat the grain. He's about to heal someone. He's going to break his own laws there. But he doesn't eat the grain. His disciples do. They get accused of breaking the law. And who is it that speaks up? Jesus does. When I was prepping, I closed the book at this point and just threw my hands up. And here's why. Because we are so afraid that if we don't live up to the status update of others, that our identity and worth is going to be jeopardized. And yeah, they are going to start pointing fingers. And they are going to start asking questions. And they're going to assess us through their lens and say, well, you don't have much worth right now. I mean, how dare you take off? The rest of us are going hard. You're just going to take off? And in that moment, the reason why we don't is because we're afraid, well, I got to answer them now. I got to speak up for my worth and identity. Since I'm building my identity, I have to protect my identity. And yet when you are in Jesus, Jesus is your defense. That's good news. When you are in Jesus, he's the one that comes to the rescue. When you're, no, it's okay. Jesus is my defense. Now, this is not license to do whatever you want, okay? You can read Romans 6 if you need some clarity on that. When Paul rhetorically says, oh, should we just sin more so God can just be our defense more? No, it's not that. But for some of us, the struggle is so real to cease because we're afraid of what they're going to say. Let Jesus be your defense. And so I love this. Jesus answers and said to them, this is good. Have you not read? Now, this is a little Jesus sarcasm 101. Because remember, who's he talking to? He's talking to guys that not only read, they interpreted what they read. Like, these are the best of the best, the Pharisees. They had memorized the Torah, the first five books of our Old Testament. And they knew every psalm. They knew all the prophets. They knew the words. So when Jesus, hey, guys, haven't you read this? Like, are you kidding me? He's going to ask us? This rabbi from Nazareth is going to ask, have we not? Of course we've read it, Jesus. And he says, didn't you read what David did? David was hungry. Those who were with him were hungry. And he entered the house of God. And he ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. So what Jesus is trying to do here before he gets into what he wants to teach is he's setting the stage and he's reminding his listeners and his audience, you are so fixed on the what, you totally forgot about the why. You love the gift. You're not recognizing the giver. And let's just broaden this a little. You're upset over the Sabbath thing that you guys interpreted in your way anyway. Do you remember that time when King David, who you loved, who all your people looked to as this great king, he killed Goliath, and he did all these great things. Remember when he was just hungry? So he went into the temple to eat the sacred bread that only the priests eat, and yet he was fine. He wasn't condemned for it. Do you remember that? Oh yeah, I think we read that somewhere. But that was David. David's great. Okay, so Jesus goes on. This is really good. Then he says to them, have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? Look at what he's doing here. Okay, guys, you are so fixed on the what. Don't work on the Sabbath. Don't work. No one can work on the Sabbath. He goes, excuse me, guys. Your priests work on the Sabbath. Is this obvious to you? Like, you're so fixed on, if anyone works on the Sabbath, they're going to break the law. Okay, well, your priests work on the Sabbath, and yet they're guiltless. So what, do they just get a pass because they're priests? I mean, I thought your whole rule thing was, no, can't work for one day. It's got to be the Sabbath. Got to be that seventh day. Okay, well, your priests are breaking that law every time there's a church service. Okay, so what do we do with that? They're so fixed on the what. And it wasn't just the law. They were fixed on structures. They loved the temple. They loved their ceremonies. They loved all the what's, and they missed out on the why. And Jesus wants to remind them and remind us today, as we live in an overworked society where, man, if I take off, if I say no, if I stop, my identity and worth could be jeopardized. Jesus says, let me remind you of the why. And he makes this next statement regarding their temple. I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. It's a big claim for him to say. You don't mess with the temple. That is, in this time when Jesus is here, that was the most tangible place where you would experience the presence of God, was in the temple. There was a spot called the Holy of Holies where God's presence was come and be manifest. It is great. You don't mess with that. And yet Jesus says, oh yeah, I know it's great. He's not saying it's not, but he is saying there's something greater. Something greater than the temple is here right now. And then he's bringing us back to the why. And if you had known, and if you had known what this means, and he quotes Hosea, again, they would have known this. They knew what it was. They didn't know why it was. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the guiltless. Jesus is using some great words here. He has shown them through the Old Testament, through stories they knew, through David, through modern day to them. Hey, your priests are working right now. Like, we can go to the temple. In fact, that's where he goes next. Your priests are working on this day. And then he says, remember Hosea 6:6, where it says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice? Yeah, if you understood that, you would not be condemning the guiltless. And then he does the drop the mic moment. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So what is Jesus doing here? He is speaking to a group of people who have been set up as the interpreters of the law. They have the authority to do that as Pharisees. And he's saying, you're doing your best with your 39 things and your 1,000. That's cute and all. That's great. You're trying to figure out how many steps I'm taking. But listen, I am the Lord of all of that. I have the ultimate authority on what this stuff means. Why? Because Jesus was going to be the fulfillment of all of that. And so as the fulfillment of the law, he gets to say what the law is really about. And he's reminding them, you got caught up in the what and you forgot about the why. You have attached your identity and your worth to your job. And so you are so afraid to take a break. In fact, you're supposed to be Sabbathing right now, he'd say to them. And yet you're just doing more work because you're concerned that you don't work. Because you're all worried about your worth and identity and what other people are saying about you and what they think about you. And if I don't go, it's going to fall apart. And Jesus is saying, no, remember Hosea, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. See, when God rescued the people of Israel out of Egypt, he showed them tremendous mercy, tremendous mercy. And understand, when you've been shown mercy, you need to show mercy. That was the purpose of the Sabbath. Hey, you remember how you were a foreigner once. You remember how you were enslaved once. And to remember that, you're going to take a moment where you don't attach your worth and identity to everything you have going on. I know you have a lot going on, but you're going to take a moment to pause and remember your worth and your identity is rooted in him. And so Jesus shows up into this culture that's not very different than ours, where people are working, and they're working hard at not working. And it's all fueled by what Tim Keller calls the work under the work, that desire to gain approval, that desire to be appreciated. And Jesus says this, just before this moment, Matthew records him saying, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest is found in Jesus. Now, don't confuse Jesus with your day off. Okay? Rest is found in Jesus. This is an identity and a worth issue. This is why can't we stop? Why don't more than half of us take all the time to stop? It's because we've attached our identity and worth to what we have going on. And we're afraid that people might say something about it. So we try really, really hard to make sure everyone really, really notices. And what's the point of doing it if no one's going to talk about it? So we do it in a way where our worth and identity will be lifted up and appreciated. Let me read you that verse in a different translation. Are you tired? Right? Pentecostals, we would say amen there. Right? Amen. I'm tired. I'm tired of this. Are you worn out? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This one, burned out on religion. I got to believe that in this space right now, for some of us, maybe this is your first or second time entering a church in a long time, because the last time you did, you were burnt out. And you know what? Religion is supposed to burn you out. Religion is not supposed to be your path to knowing God. You put me in a room with a bunch of dudes, and I'm going to do not. Okay? You tell me this is what you have to do, this is what you have to accomplish, take this class and go there and take that step and go through that program, and then maybe God will accept you and love you if you're good enough. This is what the gospel is. All of your doing good cannot outdo what Jesus did for you. He is greater than all of that. And so if you're trying to use religion as a means to getting God to love you and accept you, it's not supposed to be that way. You cannot be greater than Jesus, who is Lord of the Sabbath, who is greater than the temple. When he makes that statement, I'm greater than the temple, he says, I'm greater than the sacrifice system that happens at the temple. Jesus is your sacrifice. I want to preach. Can I kick something? Right? Jesus is your sacrifice. Jesus died so that you could be set free from having your worth and identity attached to your work. This is not a don't go to work later or don't go to work tomorrow. This is a, are you attaching your worth and identity to what you do? Because that, my friends, is dangerous. Because you are building a house of cards, and all it takes is one person to come at your identity and the whole thing collapses. Can I be transparent? In what I do, I can easily have my ego stroked. Wow, 9:30, people are out. 11 o'clock, people are out. I love when you laugh at my jokes. It makes me feel good. That's okay. But if my identity and my worth is rooted in other people, it's a house of cards. If you only do what you do hoping that someone will notice and they don't notice, what happens? We feel pretty lousy about it. Well, that's a good indicator that your work is your definition of worth and identity. Would you still love your family if they never said thank you? Would you still go to the office if you never got the raise? Would you still do what you have to do? Someone come mow my lawn. I will appreciate you. Right, whatever it is you have to do, would you still do that if no one noticed? Would you still feel like you have identity and worth? Because in Jesus, you can. Because coming to him, he says what? You'll recover your life. I need to recover my life. In an overworked culture where our status is always go, always go, always work, in your working, you can find rest. So yes, when someone says, how are you? And you say, well rested, it doesn't mean that you haven't worked in a week or two. But it does mean that in the work, your identity and worth is outside of that. It is found in Jesus. And that's a new way to live. Now, typically, I love to give practical next steps. Like last week, we had people sign up to be team players. And we're always looking for that practical next step. This one's a little different. The application for this is going to be on you. Because you need to ask God what Sabbath, what stop, what cease looks like for you. I can't be up here and say, look, you got to take a day off. Because if I do that, I'm the Pharisees. That's exactly what they were doing. Hey, stop it. Don't work. Oh, they're working. Okay, you lose. No, it might not be that. Now, it might be. You might be at a point in your life where you're working 17 jobs, and God's like, could you just work 15? Like, give two of them up. Or just a side job. Just give them up. And you have to be okay with letting God, the Lord of the Sabbath, put in you what that looks like. Let it be personal. And here's why. Because you have to remember your identity and worth is in Jesus. Don't get caught up in the what. Okay, the what is, okay, maybe I need to stop for an hour, for a day, whatever it looks like. But the why is what matters. Because your identity and worth is found in Jesus. The one who is Lord of the Sabbath, greater than the temple. The one who says, come to me, all who are tired, and I'll give you rest. So do this. We're going to sing a song and respond in just a couple minutes, but when you get in your car, just start there. Talk to God. God, what does it look like for me to rest this week? How can I practically rest? And he'll show you. You might not see it in your own schedule. Like Thursday nights is Netflix binge night, right? But sometimes that's not how you rest. You ever have that groggy feeling after you've done like 13 episodes? Like Netflix is judging you the whole time. Like, yes, I'm still watching. Stop, right? This is my story. It's like, all right, I don't feel well rested after that. I feel tired. Find what it is that causes you to feel rested, but also, because this is important, it helps you remember your identity and worth is in Jesus. So a day off may do that. A vacation may do that. Waking up an hour early, oh, how's that going to work? Then I lose sleep. No, but if you're remembering Jesus, may do that. But you got to take this step to ask God, how do I rest? How do I remind myself your identity and worth is not in what people say about you? It's not in your hands. It's in his. And so we're going to sing a song called What a Savior, where we remember it is Jesus who is our Savior. It is him who we find our identity and worth in. And during this time, even now, ask God, God, how am I going to rest this week? How am I going to carve out some time this week to remember my identity and worth? Because you were made for more. Update your status today. You were made for more than feeling overworked and burnt out, and just going and hoping people notice, and you're worth more than that. Your identity is worth more than that. God cares about you. So I'm asking you to stand as we get ready to sing this song. And I want to pray for you in this space right now. I want to give you opportunity to respond to Jesus. And so I'll ask that you'll bow your head and close your eyes as we get ready to pray. And I do believe that today, June 17th, that for some of us here, we're not finding our identity in Jesus. You've never heard the gospel. You've never heard that it's not about what you do, it's about what Jesus has done for you. Or if you've heard it, you've never believed it personally. And if you were to assess your life right now, and if you were to look at your worth and your identity, you know that it's in other places other than Jesus, the greater temple, the Lord of the Sabbath. And so I want to invite you today, on June 17th, to know God as Father. And how? Well, Jesus said it, come to me, all who labor, I will give you rest. That is rest for your soul. That is rest for your longing for worth and identity. He has that for you today. And so I want to pray with you, and we want to celebrate with you. And so I'm going to pray. And while I pray, if that's where you land today and you say, I have never asked Jesus to be my place of worth and identity. I have never looked to him in that way. Would you raise your hand as we pray as a sign of saying, God, here I am. May I be found in your son, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now in this space. Lord, as we just say, we want our identity and our worth found in you. I thank you that you have not left us to search in vain. You have given us the answer, Jesus. And while we try so hard to build our own name, it is his name that is greater. It is his name that saves us. It is his name that gives us worth and identity. And I thank you for those in this space right now as we humbly and honestly say, we're finding that in other places. Today we come to your son who invites us to come. Today we say, my rest is in Jesus. Today we leave this space knowing that we are well rested in the work because our work is not our worth. We thank you that you love us. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen.